Good morning, Mishpachah. Welcome to the Daily Audio Torah. I'm Laura Densmore, your host, and I'm so glad you're joining in with me today. Journey with me through the entire Bible in 1 year, focusing on the biblical calendar, the Sabbath, the feasts, and the Torah reading cycle. In this broadcast, you will be listening to 2 days of readings from the Scriptures. If you would like to listen every day, just go to dailyaudiotorah.com and listen in. We have many voices, interpretations, and points of view out there, but there is nothing like listening to the crystal clean, pure Word of God in your life. It is living water for your spirit. As it is written in Romans 10:17, so then faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. Now let's continue our journey through the entire Bible in 1 year. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one. Blessed be the name of the glory of his kingdom forever and ever. Amen. Genesis 24:53-67. Then he brought out silver and gold jewelry and clothing and presented them to Rebekah. He also gave expensive presents to her brother and mother. Then they ate their meal, and the servant and the man with him stayed there overnight. But early the next morning, Abraham's servant said, "Send me back to my master." "But we want Rebekah to stay with us at least 10 days, her brother and mother said. "Then she can go." But he said, "Don't delay me. The Lord has made my mission successful. Now send me back so I can return to my master." "Well," they said, "we'll call Rebekah and ask her what she thinks." So they called Rebekah. "Are you willing to go with this man?" they asked her. And she replied, "Yes, I will go." So they said goodbye to Rebekah and sent her away with Abraham's servant and his men. The woman who had been Rebekah's childhood nurse went along with her. They gave her this blessing as she parted. "Our sister, may you become the mother of millions. May your descendants be strong and conquer the cities of their enemies." Then Rebekah and her servant girls mounted the camels and followed the man. So Abraham's servant took Rebekah and went on his way. Meanwhile, Isaac, whose home was in the Negev, had returned from Beer Lahai-Roi. One evening, as he was walking and meditating in the fields, he looked up and saw the camels coming. When Rebekah looked up and saw Isaac, she quickly dismounted from her camel. "Who is that man walking through the fields to meet us?" she asked the servant, and he replied, "It is my master." So Rebekah covered her face with her veil. Then the servant told Isaac everything he had done, and Isaac brought Rebekah into his mother Sarah's tent, and she became his wife. He loved her deeply, and she was a special comfort to him after the death of his mother. Ezekiel 35:1-36:38. Again a message came to me, Ezekiel, from the Lord. "Son of man, turn and face Mount Seir and prophesy against his people. Give them this message from the sovereign Lord. I am your enemy, O Mount Seir, and I will raise my fist against you to destroy you completely. I will demolish your cities and make you desolate. Then you will know that I am the Lord. Your eternal hatred for the people of Israel led you to butcher them when they were helpless, when I had already punished them for all their sins. As surely as I live, says the sovereign Lord, since you show no distaste for blood, I will give you a bloodbath of your own. Your turn has come. I will make Mount Seir utterly desolate, killing off all who try to escape, and any who return. I will fill your mountains with the dead. Your hills, your valleys, and your ravines will be filled with people slaughtered by the sword. I will make you desolate forever. Your cities will never be rebuilt. Then you will know that I am the Lord. For you said, the lands of Israel and Judah will be ours. We will take possession of them. What do we care that the Lord is there? Therefore, as surely as I live, says the sovereign Lord, I will pay back your angry deeds with my own. I will punish you for all your acts of anger, envy, and hatred, and I will make myself known to Israel by what I do to you. Then you will know that I, the Lord, have heard every contemptuous word you spoke. against the mountains of Israel. For you said, they are desolate. They have been given to us as food to eat. In saying that, you boasted proudly against me, and I have heard it all. This is what the Sovereign Lord says. The whole world will rejoice when I make you desolate. You rejoiced at the desolation of Israel's territory. Now I will rejoice at yours. You will be wiped out, you people of Mount Seir, and all who live in Edom. Then you will know that I am the Lord. Son of man, prophesy to Israel's mountains. Give them this message. O mountains of Israel, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the Sovereign Lord says. Your enemies have taunted you, saying, Aha! Now the ancient heights belong to us. Therefore, son of man, give the mountains of Israel this message from the Sovereign Lord. Your enemies have attacked you from all directions, making you the property of many nations and the object of much mocking and slander. Therefore, O mountains of Israel, hear the word of the Sovereign Lord. He speaks to the hills and mountains, ravines and valleys, and to ruined wastes and long deserted cities that have been destroyed and mocked by the surrounding nations. This is what the Sovereign Lord says. My jealous anger burns against these nations, especially Edom, because they have shown utter contempt for me by gleefully taking my land for themselves as plunder. Therefore, prophesy to the hills and mountains, the ravines and valleys of Israel. This is what the Sovereign Lord says. I am furious that you have suffered shame before the surrounding nations. Therefore, this is what the Sovereign Lord says. I have taken a solemn oath that those nations will soon have their own shame to endure. But the mountains of Israel will produce heavy crops of fruit for my people, for they will be coming home again soon. See, I care about you, and I will pay attention to you. Your ground will be plowed, and your crops planted. I will greatly increase the population of Israel, and the ruined cities will be rebuilt and filled with people. I will increase not only the people, but also your animals. O mountains of Israel, I will bring people to live on you once again. I will make you even more prosperous than you were before. Then you will know that I am the Lord. I will cause my people to walk on you once again, and you will be there on their territory. You will never again rob them of their children. This is what the Sovereign Lord says. The other nations taunt you, saying, Israel is a land that devours its own people and robs them of their children. But you will never again devour your people or rob them of their children, says the Sovereign Lord. I will not let you hear those other nations insult you, and you will no longer be mocked by them. You will not be a land that causes its nation to fall, says the Sovereign Lord. Then this further message came to me from the Lord. Son of man, when the people of Israel were living in their own land, they defiled it by the evil way they lived. To me, their conduct was as unclean as a woman's menstrual cloth. They polluted the land with murder and the worship of idols. So I poured out my fury on them. I scattered them to many lands to punish them for the evil way they have lived. But when they were scattered among the nations, they brought shame on my holy mountain. For the nations said, These are the people of the Lord, but he couldn't keep them safe in his own land. Then I was concerned for my holy name, on which my people brought shame among the nations. Therefore, give the people of Israel this message from the Sovereign Lord. I am bringing you back, but not because you deserve it. I am doing it to protect my holy name, on which you brought shame while you were scattered among the nations. I will show how holy my great name is, the name on which you brought shame among the nations. And when I reveal my holiness through you before their very eyes, says the Sovereign Lord, then the nations will know that I am Yahweh. For I will gather you up from all the nations and bring you home again to your land. Then I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean. Your filth will be washed away, and you will no longer worship idols. And I will give you a new heart, and I will put a new spirit in you. I will take out your stony, stubborn heart and give you a tender, responsive heart. And I will put my spirit in you so that you will follow my decrees and be careful to obey my regulations. And you will live in Israel, the land I gave your ancestors long ago. You will be my people, and I will be your God. I will cleanse you of your filthy behavior, and I will give you good crops of grain and I will send no more famines on the land. I will give you great harvests from your fruit trees and fields, and never again will the surrounding nations be able to scoff at your land for its famines. Then you will remember your past sins and despise yourselves for all the detestable things you did. But remember, says the Sovereign Lord, I am not doing this because you deserve it. O my people of Israel, you should be utterly ashamed of all you have done. This is what the Sovereign Lord says. When I cleanse you from your sins, I will repopulate your cities, and the ruins will be rebuilt. The fields that used to lie empty and desolate in plain view of everyone will again be farmed. And when I bring you back, people will say, this former wasteland is now like the Garden of Eden. The abandoned and ruined cities now have strong walls and are filled with people. Then the surrounding nations that survive will know that I, Yahweh, have rebuilt the ruins and replanted the wasteland. For I, the Lord, have spoken, and I will do what I say. This is what the Sovereign Lord says. I am ready to hear Israel's prayers and to increase their numbers like a flock. They will be as numerous as the sacred flocks that filled Jerusalem's streets at the time of her festivals. The ruined cities will be crowded with people once more, and everyone will know that I am Yahweh. James 1:1-18. This letter is from James, a slave of God and of Yeshua HaMashiach. I am writing to the 12 tribes, believers scattered abroad. Greetings, dear brothers and sisters. When troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow, for when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing. If you need wisdom, ask our generous God, and He will give it to you. He will not rebuke you for asking, but when you ask Him, be sure that your faith is in God alone. Do not waver, for a person with divided loyalty is as unsettled as a wave of the sea that is blown and tossed by the wind. Such people should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Their loyalty is divided between God and the world, and they are unstable in everything they do. Believers who are poor have something to boast about, for God has honored them, and those who are rich should boast that God has humbled them. They will fade away like a little flower in the field. The hot sun rises and the grass withers, but the little flower droops and falls, and its beauty fades away. In the same way, the rich will fade away with all of their achievements. God blesses those who patiently endure testing and temptation. Afterward, they will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love Him. And remember, when you are being tempted, do not say, God is tempting me. God is never tempted to do wrong, and He never tempts anyone else. Temptation comes from our own desires, which entice us and drag us away. These desires give birth to sinful actions, and when sin is allowed to grow, it gives birth to death. So don't be misled, my dear brothers and sisters. Whatever is good and perfect is a gift coming down to us from God our Father, who created all the lights in the heavens. He never changes or casts a shifting shadow. He chose to give birth to us by giving us His true word, and we, out of all creation, became His prized possession. Psalm 116:1-19. I love the Lord because He hears my voice and my prayer for mercy. Because He bends down to listen, I will pray as long as I have breath. Death wrapped its ropes around me. The terrors of the grave overtook me. I saw only trouble and sorrow. Then I called on the name of the Lord. Please, Lord, save me. How kind the Lord is. How good He is. So merciful, this God of ours. The Lord protects those of childlike faith. I was facing death, and He saved me. Let my soul be at rest once again, for the Lord has been good to me. He has saved me from death, my eyes from tears, and my feet from stumbling. And so I walk in the Lord's presence as I live here on earth. I believed in You, so I said, I am deeply troubled, Lord. In my anxiety, I cried out to You, these people are all liars. What can I offer the Lord for all He has done for me? I will lift up the cup of salvation and praise the Lord's name for saving me. I will keep my promises to the Lord in the presence of all his people. The Lord cares deeply when his loved ones die. O Lord, I am your servant. Yes, I am your servant, born into your household. You have freed me from my chains. I will offer you a sacrifice of thanksgiving and call on the name of the Lord. I will fulfill my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people, in the house of the Lord, in the heart of Jerusalem. Praise the Lord. Proverbs 27:23-27. Know the state of your flocks and put your heart into caring for your herds, for riches don't last forever, and the crown might not be passed to the next generation. After the hay is harvested and the new crop appears and the mountain grasses are gathered in, your sheep will provide wool for clothing and your goats will provide the price of a field, and you will have enough goat's milk for yourself, your family, and your servant girls. I want to speak to you today from our reading from Ezekiel chapter 35 and 36. And these two chapters are a prophecy to the mountains of Israel and also to the people who persecuted the Israelites who were living in the mountains of Israel. So we need to define some words. And so in the beginning of this chapter, chapter 35, the Lord speaks to Ezekiel and says to him in verse 2, Son of man, turn and face Mount Seir and prophesy against its people. So what about Mount Seir and the people of Mount Seir? Esau went to Mount Seir and he established his little earthly kingdom there. He married, intermarried with the Canaanites. And from Esau, we have basically the nation of Edom. And from Esau, we have Amalek. And Amalek hated the Israelites and attacked them and tried to destroy them. From Esau and Amalek, we also have Haman. And Haman is on the direct lineage from Esau. And he hated the Jewish people. And he tried to have them completely eradicated and wiped out. So from Mount Seir, we have the Edomites. And many would say that when Rome came in and attacked Jerusalem and the temple was destroyed, that the Edomites were there watching and laughing and gloating and delighting in the destruction of the Jewish people and their temple. It goes on to say in verse 5 regarding the Edomites, the people of Mount Seir. And it really, the root of it goes all the way back to Esau. Esau hated Jacob and tried to kill him, even from within the womb. Tried to kill him. Verse 5, your eternal hatred for the people of Israel led you to butcher them when they were helpless, when I had already punished them for all their sins. As surely as I live, says the sovereign Lord, since you show no distaste for blood, I will give you a bloodbath of your own. Your turn has come. So now I'm going to turn our attention in chapter 36 to the mountains of Israel. Chapter 36, verse 1. Son of man, prophesy to Israel's mountains. Give them this message. O mountains of Israel, hear the word of the Lord. Now I'm going to pause there. Again, we need to define our words. What are the mountains of Israel? The mountains of Israel are to the north of Jerusalem. They are in the biblical heartland of the nation, and they are in the region known as Shomron or biblical Samaria. And in modern day Palestinian terms, the mountains of Israel is now known as the West Bank. And of course, the Palestinians make a claim on the West Bank. And if that ever were to happen, it would be like Israel would become a donut and there's a big hole in the middle, and that hole would be the West Bank. Well, the mountains of Israel is the Shomron, biblical Samaria. It is where the capital of the northern kingdom was in Shechem, and that is where Joseph's bones are literally buried to this day, the tomb of Joseph. His bones were taken out of Egypt, and they were brought to ancient Shechem, which is modern-day Nablus. So it goes on to say in verse 4, therefore, O mountains of Israel, hear the word of the sovereign Lord. He speaks to the hills and mountains, ravines and valleys, ruined wastes and long-deserted cities that have been destroyed and mocked by the surrounding nations. This is what the sovereign Lord says. My jealous anger burns against these nations, especially Edom, because they have shown utter contempt for me by gleefully taking my land for themselves as plunder. By the way, a little sidebar, if you ever visit next door neighbor Jordan, you have Petra. And if you ever visit Petra, these massive cliffs, it looks like an ancient a city carved in stone skyscrapers carved in stone. And the inhabitants of Petra, they literally carved out large columns, and the columns look like the columns of the White House. They are ornate, and they are very elegantly done. And they lived in the caves in Petra, and it looks like an ancient city carved in stone. And this is where many of the Edomites lived. This is near the region of Mount Seir, where Esau went and established himself. Continuing on in verse 8, "But the mountains of Israel will produce heavy crops of fruit for my people, for they will be coming home again soon. See, I care about you, and I will pay attention to you. Your ground will be plowed, and your crops planted." Now, again, we have to define our words. Who is this talking to? He says, "My people will be returning." Well, first, it begins with the Jewish people. It begins with the southern kingdom called the House of Judah, or the Jews. They returned after 70 years of captivity in Babylon, and there's always been a Jewish presence in the land ever since. But there's also God's people includes the northern kingdom, the non-Jewish part of the nation of Israel. And they are also going to return. Continuing on in chapter 36, verse 10, "I will greatly increase the population of Israel, and the ruined cities will be rebuilt and filled with people. I will increase not only the people, but also your animals. O mountains of Israel, I will bring people to live on you once again. I will make you even more prosperous than you were before. Then you will know that I am the Lord. I will cause my people to walk on you once again, and you will be their territory. You will never again rob them of their children." So now, in biblical Shomron, biblical Samaria, also known as the West Bank, just above the town of Nablus, which is a Palestinian town, and there's a big sign, a big red sign that says, "If you're Jewish, don't go down this road on pain of death." Up above, I forget the name of the town up on the hill, but it's a Jewish town. And behind that, there is a compound, a volunteer compound set up by the ministry called Hayovel, H-A-Y-O-V-E-L, Hayovel. The Waller family founded it, and Christians from all over the nations have gone there and stayed in their volunteer facilities, and they volunteer to help harvest the grapes that are there in the region, up on the hillside and also down in Shiloh and in other places. And from those grapes, world-class wine is produced. And there's prophecies in the book of Amos and in Jeremiah that strangers and foreigners would come to the mountains of Israel, and they would help to harvest the grapes, and that the mountains would drip with wine. And literally, that prophecy is coming to pass right now. The Waller family and all the volunteers, I would say, are like the Normandy beach. They have established a beachhead, and it's still pretty desolate. Lots and lots of open land there. Lots of vineyards, grape vineyards, but plenty of room for growth. And so this prophecy is talking about how God's people are one day going to return to the land of Israel. Let's just continue. Chapter 36, verse 22. "Therefore, give the people of Israel this message from the sovereign Lord. I am bringing you back, but not because you deserve it. I am doing it to protect my holy name, on which you brought shame while you were scattered among the nations." So we, his people, have been scattered amongst all the nations. The southern kingdom, Judah, has returned to Israel. But the northern kingdom, the non-Jewish part of the nation of Israel, is still scattered to all the nations of the earth. And yes, we have brought shame to his name. And he's going to regather his people. He goes on to say, "And when I reveal my holiness through you before their very eyes, says the sovereign Lord, then the nations will know that I am the Lord, for I will gather you from all the nations and bring you home again to your land." We are the scattered sheep. We've been scattered to all the nations. Yeshua, the master shepherd, is going to ingather his sheep, and he's going to do it in a stunning, stellar, amazing way. He goes on to say in verse 25, "Then I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean. Your filth will be washed away, and you will no longer worship idols. And I will give you a new heart, and I will put a new spirit in you. I will take out your stony, stubborn heart and give you a tender, responsive heart." Verse 28, and here's his promise. It's an incredible promise. "And you will live in Israel, the land I gave your ancestors long ago." We need to remember that. We need to not get so comfortable with where we are right now, with our 401k and our mortgage and our little house and our families and our life here, because we need to walk very lightly and be ready to up and leave when it's time to go, because this, we are pilgrims passing through. We don't belong where we are. We're scattered. We've been exiled from the promised land, and God has promised to return us back home to Israel. Genesis 25:1-11. Abraham married another wife whose name was Keturah. She gave birth to Zimran, Jokshan, Medan, Midian, Ishbak, and Shua. Jokshan was the father of Sheba and Dedan. Dedan's descendants were the Asherites, Letushites, and Lemuites. Midian's sons were Ephah, Epher, Hanok, Abida, and Eldah. These were all the descendants of Abraham through Keturah. Abraham gave everything he owned to his son Isaac. But before he died, he gave gifts to the sons of his concubines and sent them off to a land in the east, away from Isaac. Abraham lived for 175 years, and he died at a ripe old age, having lived a long and satisfying life. He breathed his last and joined his ancestors in death. His sons Isaac and Ishmael buried him in the cave of Machpelah near Mamre in the field of Ephron, son of Zohar, the Hittite. This was the field Abraham had purchased from the Hittites and where he had buried his wife Sarah. After Abraham's death, God blessed his son Isaac, who settled near Beer Lahoy Roy in the Negev. Ezekiel 37:1-38:23. The Lord took hold of me, Ezekiel, and I was carried away by the Spirit of the Lord to a valley filled with bones. He led me all around among the bones that covered the valley floor. They were scattered everywhere across the ground and were completely dried out. Then he asked me, Son of man, can these bones become living people again? O sovereign Lord, I replied, you alone know the answer to that. Then he said to me, speak a prophetic message to these bones and say, dry bones, listen to the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says. Look, I am going to put breath into you and make you live again. I will put flesh and muscles on you and cover you with skin. I will put breath into you and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am Yahweh. So I spoke this message, just as he told me. Suddenly, as I spoke, there was a rattling noise all across the valley. The bones of each body came together and attached themselves as complete skeletons. Then, as I watched, muscles and flesh formed over the bones. Then skin formed to cover their bodies, but they still had no breath in them. Then he said to me, speak a prophetic message to the winds, son of man. Speak a prophetic message and say, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Come, O breath, from the four winds. Breathe into these dead bodies so they may live again. So I spoke the message as he commanded me, and breath came into their bodies. They all came to life and stood up on their feet, a great army. Then he said to me, son of man, these bones represent the people of Israel. They are saying, we have become old, dry bones. All hope is gone. Our nation is finished. Therefore, prophesy to them and say, this is what the sovereign Lord says. O my people, I will open your graves of exile and cause you to rise again. Then I will bring you back to the land of Israel. When this happens, O my people, you will know that I am Yahweh. I will put my spirit in you, and you will live again and return home to your own land. Then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken, and I have done what I said. Yes, the Lord has spoken. Again, a message came to me from the Lord. Son of man, take a piece of wood and carve on it these words. This represents Judah and its allied tribes. Then take another piece and carve these words on it. This represents Ephraim and the northern tribes of Israel. Now hold them together in your hand as if they were one piece of wood. When your people ask you what your actions mean, say to them, This is what the Sovereign Lord says. I will take Ephraim and the northern tribes and join them to Judah. I will make them one piece of wood in my hand. Then hold out the pieces of wood you have inscribed so the people can see them and give them this message from the Sovereign Lord. I will gather the people of Israel from among the nations. I will bring them home to their own land from the places where they have been scattered. I will unify them into one nation on the mountains of Israel. One king will rule them all. No longer will they be divided into two nations or into two kingdoms. They will never again pollute themselves with their idols and vile images and rebellion, for I will save them from their sinful apostasy. I will cleanse them. Then they will truly be my people, and I will be their God. My servant David will be their king, and they will have only one shepherd. They will obey my regulations and be careful to keep my decrees. They will live in the land I gave my servant Jacob, the land where their ancestors lived. They and their children and their grandchildren after them will live there forever, generation after generation. And my servant David will be their prince forever. And I will make a covenant of peace with them, an everlasting covenant. I will give them their land and increase their numbers, and I will put my temple among them forever. I will make my home among them. I will be their God, and they will be my people. And when my temple is among them forever, the nations will know that I am the Lord who makes Israel holy. This is another message that came to me from the Lord. Son of man, turn and face Gog, the land of Magog, the prince who rules over the nations of Meshach and Tubal, and prophesy against him. Give him this message from the Sovereign Lord. Gog, I am your enemy. I will turn you around and put hooks in your jaws to lead you out with your whole army, your horses and charioteers in full armor, and a great horde armed with shields and swords. Persia, Ethiopia, and Libya will join you too with all their weapons. Gomer and all its armies will also join you along with the armies of Beth Togarmah from the distant north and many others. Get ready. Be prepared. Keep all the armies around you mobilized and take command of them. A long time from now, you will be called into action. In the distant future, you will swoop down on the land of Israel, which will be enjoying peace after recovering from war and after its people have returned from many lands to the mountains of Israel. You and all your allies, a vast and awesome army, will roll down on them like a storm and cover the land like a cloud. This is what the Sovereign Lord says. At that time, evil thoughts will come to your mind, and you will devise a wicked scheme. You will say, Israel is an unprotected land filled with unwalled villages. I will march against her and destroy these people who live in such confidence. I will go to those formerly desolate cities that are now filled with people who have returned from exile in many nations. I will capture vast amounts of plunder, for the people are rich with livestock and other possessions now. They think the whole world revolves around them. But Sheba and Dedan and the merchants of Tarshish will ask, do you really think the armies you have gathered can rob them of silver and gold? Do you think you can drive away their livestock and seize their goods and carry off plunder? Therefore, son of man, prophesy against Gog. Give him this message from the Sovereign Lord. When my people are living in peace in their land, then you will rouse yourself. You will come from your homeland in the distant north with your vast cavalry and your mighty army, and you will attack my people Israel, covering their land like a cloud. At that time in the distant future, I will bring you against my land as everyone watches, and my holiness will be displayed by what happens to you, Gog. Then all the nations will know that I am Yahweh. This is what the Sovereign Lord asks. Are you the one I was talking about long ago when I announced through Israel's prophets that in the future I would bring you against my people? But this is what the Sovereign Lord says. When Gog invades the land of Israel, my fury will boil over. In my jealousy and blazing anger, I promise a mighty shaking in the land of Israel on that day. All living things, the fish in the sea, the birds of the sky, the animals of the field, the small animals that scurry along the ground, and all the people on earth will quake in terror at my presence. Mountains will be thrown down. Cliffs will crumble. Walls will fall to the earth. I will summon the sword against you on all the hills of Israel, says the Sovereign Lord. Your men will turn their swords against each other. I will punish you and your armies with disease and bloodshed. I will send torrential rain, hailstones, fire, and burning sulfur. In this way, I will show my greatness and holiness, and I will make myself known to all the nations of the world. Then they will know that I am Yahweh. James 1:19-2:17. Understand this, my dear brothers and sisters. You must all be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get angry. Human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. So get rid of all the filth and evil in your lives and humbly accept the word God has planted in your hearts, for it has power to save your souls. But don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you are only fooling yourselves. For if you listen to the word and don't obey, it is like glancing at your face in a mirror. You see yourself, walk away, and forget what you look like. But if you look carefully into the perfect law that sets you free, and if you do what it says and don't forget what you heard, then God will bless you for doing it. If you claim to be religious but don't control your tongue, you are fooling yourself, and your religion is worthless. Pure and genuine religion in the sight of God the Father means caring for orphans and widows in their distress and refusing to let the world corrupt you. My dear brothers and sisters, how can you claim to have faith in our glorious Lord Yeshua if you favor some people over others? For example, suppose someone comes into your meeting dressed in fancy clothes and expensive jewelry, and another comes in who is poor and dressed in dirty clothes. If you give special attention and a good seat to the rich person, but you say to the poor one, "You can stand over there, or else sit on the floor," well, doesn't this discrimination show that your judgments are guided by evil motives? Listen to me, dear brothers and sisters. Hasn't God chosen the poor in this world to be rich in faith? Aren't they the ones who will inherit the kingdom he promised to those who love him? But you dishonor the poor. Isn't it the rich who oppress you and drag you into court? Aren't they the ones who slander Yeshua, whose noble name you bear? Yes, indeed, it is good when you obey the royal law as found in the scriptures. Love your neighbor as yourself. But if you favor some people over others, you are committing a sin. You are guilty of breaking the law. But the person who keeps all of the law except one is as guilty as a person who has broken all of God's laws. For the same God who said, "You must not commit adultery," also said, "You must not murder." So if you murder someone but do not commit adultery, you have still broken the law. So whatever you say or whatever you do, remember that you will be judged by the law that sets you free. There will be no mercy for those who have not shown mercy to others. But if you have been merciful, God will be merciful when he judges you. What good is it, dear brothers and sisters, if you say you have faith, but don't show it by your actions? Can that kind of faith save anyone? Suppose you see a brother or sister who has no food or clothing, and you say, "Goodbye and have a good day, stay warm and eat well," but then you don't give that person any food or clothing. What good does that do? So you see, faith by itself isn't enough, unless it produces good deeds. It is dead and useless. Psalm 117:1-2. Praise the Lord, all you nations. Praise him, all you people of the earth, for he loves us with unfailing love. The Lord's faithfulness endures forever. Praise the Lord. Proverbs 28:1. The wicked run away when no one is chasing them, but the godly are as bold as lions. I want to speak to you today from chapter 37 of Ezekiel. And in this chapter, we see a picture being painted for us of a valley of dry bones. And the Lord speaks to Ezekiel and tells him to prophesy a message to the bones. And he speaks to these bones, and the bones of the body came together and attached themselves as complete skeletons. And then muscle and flesh comes over the bones, and skin comes over to cover their bodies, but they had no breath. And then the Lord speaks to him again and says, "Speak to the bones and breathe into these dead bodies so they may live again." And so who are these bones? What do they represent? In a different translation, the New King James Version, verse 11, chapter 37, verse 11, it is written, "Then he said to them, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They indeed say, our bones are dry, our hope is lost, and we ourselves are cut off." So what or who is the whole house of Israel? The whole house of Israel is both northern and southern kingdom. It is all 12 tribes. Remember, the southern kingdom is the house of Judah, the Jews. The northern kingdom are the 10 tribes of the north, the non-Jews. And why do they say, our hope is lost, we ourselves are cut off? Because both northern and southern kingdom were sent out into exile when they were conquered. The southern kingdom was conquered by Babylon, and they were sent into exile. The northern kingdom was conquered by Assyria. And yet, God promises in verse 12, "Behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up from your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. Then you shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up from your graves." Now, in some ways, this prophecy has been partially fulfilled. If you go to Jerusalem today and you go to Yad Vashem, the Holocaust Museum, as you exit the plaza, there's a large concrete post going horizontal, held up by three or four pillars. And on this concrete post, as you look up, it has that verse from Ezekiel. Ezekiel 37:12, "I will open your graves and cause you to come up from your graves and bring you into the land of Israel." And literally, this is exactly what happened. Out of the ashes of the Holocaust, the Jews who survived the Holocaust returned to the land of Israel, and a whole new nation has been reborn, literally out of the graves of the Holocaust. But this is the southern kingdom, the house of Judah. And remember, in verse 11, it interprets for us. It gives us the definition. Who are these bones? So the scriptures tell us in verse 11, these bones are the whole house of Israel. So it includes both northern and southern kingdom. So the southern kingdom, the Jews, they now have the opportunity to immigrate, to make aliyah and return to the land of Israel. Whether you're from South Africa or Nigeria or Albania or Russia or America, if you are Jewish, you have the right of return to make aliyah. But this is not yet so for the northern kingdom, for those of us who've been grafted in by faith into the olive tree of Israel, who by faith now are connected to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to all the covenants and the promises that God made with Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, David. We are still in the exile. We are still like those scattered bones, scattered. But yet, there's more. And we see that God tells Ezekiel to now prophesy over those bones, to breathe from the four winds, breathe into the dead bodies so they may live again. And as he spoke the message, breath came into the bodies. They all came to life and stood up on their feet, a great army. And so, what is this army? I believe one level of understanding. What is this army? It's a prayer army. It's a prayer army, and it transcends national borders. There are so many prayer groups that pray over Israel on telephone, phone conference calls, on Zoom calls, on live meetings in person, when groups come together in meeting face to face. There are literally hundreds and hundreds of groups throughout the nations, all over America, all over Africa, Europe, Canada, that pray for Israel. It's a prayer army. And so he's saying, I will open, in verse 12, I will open your graves of exile and cause you to rise again, and I will bring you back to the land of Israel. So this picture of the bones, it's a picture of being dead in exile, and that when the bones come alive, that they're going somewhere. The bones get fleshed out with muscles and skin and breath, and this army returns to the land of Israel. Verse 14, I will put my spirit in you, and you will live again and return home to your own land. And remember, this message is not just to the Jewish people. It's to the whole house of Israel, to all 12 tribes. And then in the second part of this prophecy, we see Ezekiel being instructed by the Lord to take two sticks. And on one stick, he writes the word Judah. And on the other stick, he writes the word Ephraim. And Judah represents the southern kingdom, the Jews. And Ephraim represents the northern kingdom, the non-Jews, the 10 tribes of the north. And what God is showing here is that though we read of this kingdom split that took place, that's described for us in 1 Kings chapter 12 with Rehoboam and Jeroboam, and this ancient split of the kingdom has never been repaired, there is a day coming when those two kingdoms will become one once again. And this prophecy is describing that. In verse 17, now hold them together in your hand as if they were one piece of wood. When your people ask you what your actions mean, say to them, this is what the Sovereign Lord says, I will take Ephraim and the northern tribes and join them to Judah. I will make them one piece of wood in my hand. And verse 24, my servant David will be their king, and they will have only one shepherd. Who is this servant David? The servant David is Yeshua. He will be their king, and they will only have one shepherd. Yeshua is that one shepherd. So there's a time coming when there's going to be a healing of the breach, when the wall is being dismantled and taken down between Jews and Christians. Does that mean that Christians try to proselytize Jews or Jews try to proselytize Christians? No. We must stand in mutual respect and let the Holy Spirit do the work in people's hearts. But there is going to be a coming together of Jews and Christians, and it's already underway and already in progress. Now, the next chapter, chapter 38, is a huge topic. It's all about the Gog-Magog War. I'm going to save that for tomorrow because we're going to read more about the Gog-Magog War in Ezekiel chapter 39. But be encouraged. The Lord is going to do a work and is doing a work to bring the two sticks together, the house of Judah and the house of Ephraim, together as one, to heal the breach, to dismantle the wall, to build the bridge between these two groups.
Yevarechah Adonai Vishmarechah Yayeh Adonai panav ilecha vikunecha yisa Adonai panav ilecha Vayesel leka leka Shalom.
The Aaronic Blessing from Numbers chapter 6, 24 to 26. Adonai bless you and keep you. Adonai make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. Adonai lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.